The most common use of bone marrow stem cells was for bone marrow transplants after someone had some major chemotherapy. Say someone had metastatic breast cancer or lymphoma or whatnot, and the oncologists were going to give that individual, blast them with chemotherapy and radiotherapy, which would kill all their bone marrow cells. You can't survive without them because that's where your red blood cells and immune cells are. So they would take someone's bone marrow, they would put them through the chemotherapy. If they survived it, which only about 12 to 20% did, then they would give you back your own bone marrow cells. That transplant would hopefully regenerate your body and you would survive. So that's the main purpose for that.
Welcome to the Wealthy, Wealthy, Wise podcast. If you would like to listen in on thought-provoking conversations with countercultural thought leaders and experts in the fields of wealth, health, and relationships, the three keys to having what I call a wealthy, wealthy life, then this is the show for you. I'm Christina Wise, real estate investor, best-selling author of Falling for Money, and founder of Wealthy Wealthy, where I serve as your personal guide to money, health, and happiness. Welcome back to Wealthy Wealthy Wise. In this episode, I talk with Dr. Mitch Fleischer. And this is my second conversation with Mitch. I brought him back because he is an encyclopedia of knowledge. And he's an MD, a medical doctor, but he's also a homeopath with the fundamental belief that our body is its best healer. If we give it the right ingredients and a good amount of love and faith, it can perform miracles. He's seen hundreds of miracles during the course of his 40-year medical career. In this conversation, we break down pain. He talks about the dangers, the big dangers of taking over-the-counter and or prescriptive medication for pain over the long term. And he talks about many of the unknown dangers of surgery, where many times doctors will recommend surgery, especially to manage some pain. And it should maybe be one of the last options or choices versus one of the first ones. And then he talks about the very new options and therapies that are available today to help manage pain, eliminate pain. And we also talk about those same therapies that are available for this thing called aging and helping us maybe slow down that process. Again, he is such a wealth of knowledge. He breaks things down to make it very easy for the layman listener and just give us more information so we have more options on how to be healthy, be well, and really have a body, a vibrant body, a healthy body, a mobile body to be able to enjoy and experience in this thing we called life. So I hope you enjoy. Dr. Mitch Fleischer, it's so great to be here with you again. This is our second interview together. And this I've only done this a couple of times where I've had a guest back the second time. And anybody listening, if you didn't hear our first conversation, I would really recommend to start there because what I really appreciated about that so much is you are such an educator, and I love the fact that you just speak from the heart. You want to educate people about learning about their own body, the options, what causes illness and inflammation, what's the differences. We talked a lot last time about the differences in the different type of medicine or the way people practice medicine and different ways doctors practice medicine. And there's just different differences based on different philosophies. And again, they're just different options. And so if we're educated in those options, we can make a more educated decision or choice as to maybe what methodology we want to look to help us, one, reverse disease or help us with situations where we're not feeling healthy and or to keep us feeling as healthy as we can be and to grow into becoming more healthy, knowing what options might be. So that's some good background, I think, that leads us to today's conversation, which might be part two. And I'd love to talk to you about, I know you're really, as you were the leader really back in the day before homeopathic medicine was even talked about, before integrative medicine, anybody knew what that was, functional medicine. Now these things, people, mainstream's more aware of it, but you were doing this long when it was like wacko woo-woo and you were probably that camp, right? So now you're a normal doctor. Before you probably had a few rocks thrown at you and you know, we're one of those guys. But you just, you know, from the very beginning, you believed that this type of medicine actually healed people and you stayed true to that. But you were really a pioneer and leader in that back in the day. And now you're really becoming a pioneer and leader in this next stage of medicine is what's available with new types of therapies. One, to reduce pain and help with some regeneration. And two, just maybe nice, good old anti-aging that we're looking for. So, and it's in this, in the category of stem cells, right? So
I'd love to have that conversation because I know a lot of people are talking about stem cells. You can pick up some health magazines and they're throwing in the idea of stem cells, but I'm in this place like, what the hell is a stem cell? and how can, you know, is this something that's just a fad or is it real? Is it kind of quackery or is this actually a really good option that maybe many of us can look at? And if so, where and why would we consider it?
Well, Christina, it's a pleasure to be with you again. You have a great blog and you reach a lot of people and do a lot of good. And it's a pleasure to be able to share my experiences with your audience. Over the last several years, you know, I've been doing homeopathy nutritional therapy for almost a little over 40 years now and teaching other healthcare practitioners how to do what I do. You can't learn this stuff, unfortunately, in medical school or residency. You have to do it on your own, apprentice yourself. And through my work as a homeopathic physician, an integrative physician, using nutrition in a wide range of different modalities, I've sort of evolved into an integrative anti-aging physician. But I just turned 65 recently, and I realized, you know, a lot of my patients are getting older with me, and they're accumulating all of the typical illnesses of aging, many of which are musculoskeletal orthopedic problems. And they're not wanting to go the traditional route of just taking non-steroidals, aspirins, all the steroid injections, all the rest of it, that unfortunately lead to the further deterioration of their joints and then need joint replacement therapy, which is not the most fun thing in the world and can be very limiting and have a lot of complications. So essentially, the definition of a stem cell is a primitive cell that has the ability to stimulate the healing of our body. To give you an idea of where stem cells come from, when we're in utero, when we're developing utero as a fetus, the placenta, which is the part of the birth tissue, which is part of the mother actually, the placenta is the organ inside the uterus that develops to feed the developing baby, essentially. It transfers blood and nutrients from the mother's body, filters it and sends it into the fetus, developing baby. One of the most important purposes of the placenta is to provide immune support, but also the placenta is a source for all the stem cells that will transfer through the umbilical cord into the baby and then circulate out through the baby's body and deposit in the islets through the body. Those are all the stem cells you have for your entire life. That's your original source, the placenta. And when you're born, you're born with all the stem cells you ever have, really, in islets. And they get used and regenerate. But as you age, they're as old as you are. Now, so a stem cell has, it's thought, you know, most people think when they read in the articles and they make mistakes in a lot of the media, that stem cells convert into any tissues. That's not exactly the main purpose. When you cut yourself, for example, you wondered, how does the miracle of healing occur? When you have an abrasion or a laceration inside or outside, well, what happens is that when we cut ourselves, the cells and damaged cells and tissues release certain chemicals, proteins usually called cytokines and chemokines. These are proteins that attract healing cells and healing chemicals. And that cut, that wound, will then attract the regional stem cells closest to it. The stem cells then migrate towards that tissue and then attach to the damaged tissue. And the stem cells have what's called a paracrine, P-A-R-A-C-I-R-N-E function. Paracrine function is to release more cytokines, that's C-Y-T-O, kine, and chemokines, and that attract healing chemicals and healing cells from the rest of the body to congregate at that point and knit the tissue together. That's how all healing occurs. In fact, there was the fifth international conference on stem cell science, which was held in California this past June. One of the major speakers, who's the U.S. Stem Cell Bank in Florida, brilliant woman, said that science has shown that the human body could not exist for more than 12 hours without stem cells. If all of a sudden all the stem cells in our body all died off, we would be dead in half a day. Because that's how important they are. They are continually being used. They're continually being stimulated to heal our body internally and externally, because we're always being wounded by the foods we eat, the air we breathe, the water we drink. bumping up against the cabinet. However, every time we're wounded in any way, physically, mentally, emotionally, any way, our stem cells are stimulated to go heal that tissue, whatever it is. So we absolutely need them all the time. Well, one important fact about stem cells is that, again, they are as old as we are. Stem cell, and so there's different kinds of stem cells too that have been used historically from the 1960s onwards. Initially, there was work done with neonatal tissues, like, you know, fetal tissues from abortions and things of that nature. But what was discovered, first of all, those aren't even used anymore. Embryonic cells are not used anymore because they found out they're too chaotic, they're too immature, and they tend to create tumors. So that's off the board. When people think about it, no, they're not using those anymore. I want to clear the air about that. What they initially found was that when they used embryonic cells, it would stimulate healing, but it caused a lot of problems because the cells were too chaotic. So the next cells that they used were bone marrow stem cells. Well, by doing a bone marrow biopsy, which you have to put a needle in and suck the bone marrow blood out and filter it out, and it's a painful process. And then those are mostly what are called hematopoietic cells. That is, they're mostly used for creating new blood and things of that nature. But you can get some other kinds of mesenchymal stem cells, but not that much. The most common use of bone marrow stem cells was for bone marrow transplants after someone had some major chemotherapy. Say someone had metastatic breast cancer or lymphoma or whatnot, and the oncologists were going to give that individual, blast them with chemotherapy and radiotherapy, which would kill all their bone marrow cells. You can't survive without them because that's where your red blood cells and immune cells are. So they would take someone's bone marrow, they would put them through the chemotherapy. If they survived it, which only about 12 to 20% did, then they would give you back your own bone marrow cells. That transplant would hopefully regenerate your body and you would survive. So that's the main purpose for that. There's some doctors who are using bone marrow stem cells for joints and things like that. They work marginally, and I'll explain why in a second. The second phase, a decade or so later, they recognized that our fat cells, particularly the fat around our waist, is a source of mesenchymal stem cells. And the stem cells in our fat tissue is more like trapped or sequestered there, and it's not often used unless you have a deep wound. So what doctors would do is a procedure called a liposuction, which is a surgical procedure where they're going to numb you up and scrape it. I have that done, but I tell you, it hurts. And you're bruised for several weeks to a few months thereafter. But they take those fat cells out, they separate out the fat cells, and they spin off and concentrate the fat-derived stem cells. It'll give them back to you. And those work fairly well for treating joint tissues and some other illnesses. So they're used by orthopedists a lot, very often in California and some other places in the world. Then the third category, which has been researched much more extensively in the last several years, is obtaining stem cells from the birth tissues, that is the placenta and the umbilical cord from newborn babies. And there actually are cord cell banks, cord blood banks, throughout the United States and been around for a half century. And they routinely will take the birth tissue that a mother, you know, will call the stem cell bank because I want to store my cord blood cells or my cord tissue. And after the baby is born, they'll take the placenta and umbilical cord, screen it for bacteria and viruses and fungi and other chemicals and make sure it's clean. And then they will separate out the cells and nourish them and freeze them at very low temperatures under liquid nitrogen or special refrigerators. And those cells can last up to 50 years in the cord bank. And the utility of that is that should the mother or the baby get sick for some reason, get a bad infection, an injury, develop cancer, things of that nature, they've found that if they take their own stem cells and give it back to them, it heals better than any other therapy you can. There's no conventional therapy that will work better than your own cells. And that's basically our the most powerful healing we have is our own healing. We
not
have
surprising, really, right?
I know that as a homeopath, you know, all healing is self healing. And that's,
I mean, shocking, our own cells.
Self healing.
Right.
That's the whole basis of homeopathy. Homeopathy gives you a special remedy from nature designed, individualized to the person. and stimulates your own innate ability to heal themselves. That's what stem cells are essentially doing too. So what was discovered in the last several years, like decade or so, is that what differentiates the different kinds of stem cells is that a bone marrow stem cell or a fat-derived stem cell are a mature adult cells. And on the surface of the cell, you have these special markers called HLA markers. That's histocompatibility antigens. And that's what the immune system uses to tell self from other. Is this me or you or whatnot? And if it's different, your immune system can attack it. And what happens sometimes when people get organ transplants, like getting a heart transplant or a kidney transplant or a lung transplant, all these different organ transplants, is those are, of course, adult mature cells that have these HLA markers on them. And that's why they have to give that patient who gets the organ transplant all these immunosuppressive drugs, which have terrible side effects. Because if they don't, the organ itself, like you put a heart in somebody, you put a liver or a lung in somebody, that the cells in that organ may start attacking the host. That's what's called a graft versus host reaction. And it kills people left and right. People get kidney transplants and they die from it because the kidney is actually attacking the person who was transplanted. So the same thing happens with bone marrow and fat-derived stem cells. Like, I couldn't give you my fat cells. I couldn't give you my bone marrow cells because I have different immune markers than you do. Your immune system would either destroy the cells I gave you or my cells would have hurt you. And that's what was discovered. However, and this is what's wonderful, it turned out by careful investigation that the stem cells, the mesenchymal stem cells in placental and umbilical cord tissue, not the blood. Some companies use cord blood. Those are mature. You have to use the stem cells from the jelly-like material inside the placental cord called Wharton's jelly, W-H-R-T-O-N. And that Wharton's jelly is rich in these immature, immunologically naive stem cells. That is, these stem cells don't have any of the markers. So by extracting them, carefully extracting them so they're healthy, nourishing them, and then giving them to anybody else, your immune system says, wow, more good stem cells. I like that. And accepts them and allows your body to use them. I know that for a fact, not only objectively from the research that's been done, but empirically from clinical experience. I've taken them. My wife has taken them. I've given to hundreds of patients. There's no immunological reaction, and they're much more powerful because science has shown that a single mesenchymal stem cell from the placental and umbilical cord tissue, when it's properly prepared and put into a new person, will generate over a billion new healthy cells in 30 days, in 1 month. One nascent, which means newborn stem cell, has that potential because you know about the term telomeres. You know what telomere means? Yeah, a lot of people. What a telomere is, it's the end cap to our chromosomes. And as we grow and age and our cells divide, the telomeres get shorter and shorter and shorter, and they reach a critical point at which the cell, they no longer can divide. You can't mitose. And then that cell becomes what's called senescent or old and can't reproduce, and then it dies. And then you get enough short telomeres and enough senescent cells, and essentially you die. Well, the telomeres are the longest in the nascent newborn mesenchymal stem cells. So they have the greatest growth and reproductive potential to heal. They have the greatest potential to produce the most cytokines and chemokines. That is, that when you put them into the body, when I inject them into the vein or I put them into a joint, they will attach to the tissues. They will begin releasing these chemicals that attract the healing components, and they last the longest compared to all the stem cells. They'll last for several weeks to a few months, as opposed to the bone marrow and fat cells, which only last maybe a few days to a few weeks. But also, again, when you take bone marrow and stem cell fat cells out of a body and extract the stem cell from it, those cells are as old as a person. And they now know from science that if you take bone marrow or fat-derived stem cells from a 60-year-old person, that stem cell, when put in the body, will only generate about 200 new cells in 30 days in a month. So there's a huge discrepancy between over a billion and 200 cells. You can see the difference. And that's why I've chosen to use those instead, because they have much, much more healing potential than the cells. Plus, you don't have to do a surgical procedure. There's no need for a painful bone marrow biopsy or a liposuction and having to recover from the surgery. They're already available from high quality U.S. cord banks that produce them. And we work with one of the oldest stem cell banks in the country, been around for several decades, and they have a patented and unique process whereby, whereas a lot of banks will take the placenta and freeze it, and fractionate it, and centrifuge cells out, which damages a lot of cells, you don't get a lot of high-quality tissue. This bank has a way to be able to not do that. They extract the cells to keep them intact and then nourish them and freeze them immediately, and they don't put any chemicals. A lot of companies will put a preserving agent, a prior preservative called DMSO, dimethyl sulfoxide, in the cell. And that sort of prevents ice crystals from forming in the cells. Unfortunately, a lot of people who are allergic to sulfa drugs will react to DMSO. And in fact, DMSO is somewhat toxic to the cell. So when the doctor uses those and defrosts them, you have to use those cells within 10, 15 minutes or the DMSO starts destroying the cells. The company I work with doesn't do that. They put a safe substance in it that's actually in your body that does the same thing, preserves them even better. So you could defrost the cells and leave them on your counter for several hours and the cells will still be thriving. What I've also discovered is that there are ways to potentiate the effects of the placental umbilical cord stem cells by adding specific homeopathic agents and nutrients and also some human hormones like growth hormones, somatomedin, and which dramatically increase the effectiveness of the healing potential in the joints and the tissues. And I can give you some examples of the kind of, like we had, it's going on almost 2 years ago now, we had a woman from on the other side of Virginia, the Williamsburg area, call us up. And she and her husband were retiring, they were real estate agents. They were retiring and wanted to walk the entire Appalachian Trail, which is over 20 miles. So she began walking in her neighborhood on flat ground. And within a couple of weeks, her knees were painful and swollen. She goes to her family physician who sends her to an orthopedist and said, oh, your knees are shot. You need joint replacements. And she flipped out. And so she spoke to one of her friends who happened to be one of our patients and told her about what we do. And she's decided, I'm not getting my knees replaced, because the doctor told her she may never be able to walk the Appalachian Trail if she had the surgery, and that wasn't on her agenda. So she came in and I examined her, and it was moderately severe arthritis, like what almost bone on bone, but there was enough there left that we could do something about it. So we began with two, what we called JRT treatments, joint regeneration therapy, why I use, again, the special homeopathic remedies that decrease inflammation and stimulate regeneration. I found in my research that there's a company in Germany that one of the biggest homeopathic companies in the world. That's the benefit of having board certification in homeopathy. I know these things. It's wonderful therapy because it's completely non-toxic. Well, they, in Germany, doctors regularly inject homeopathic remedies in the joints that decrease inflammation and stimulate regeneration. Because in homeopathy, we can use healthy substances like cartilage in what's called a sarcode, a homeopathic remedy made from a healthy joint, a tissue, and in this case, it's homeopathic cartilage, which stimulates our body to produce more cartilage. So I use that. I use the vitamins and nutrients and minerals that the joint cells need to regenerate themselves. I also use a short and long-term numbing agents to make the process comfortable, which is nice. We use recombinant DNA human growth hormone, somatomedin, because in my research, I looked at, after having had the procedure done myself in the 90s, it was when I had originally had done prolotherapy. Prolotherapy is short for proliferative therapy or reconstructive therapy. It's been around for about 80 years. And it's what orthopedic physicians do, not orthopedic surgeons. Surgeons cut, physicians try to do something other than cutting. And they reasoned that if the healing process begins with acute inflammation, we ought to not stop that. And one of the reasons that people wind up with joint replacement is that the regular doctors, or conventional orthopedic doctors, will put people on, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs like ibuprofen, acetaminophen, all of those, Motrin, Mobec, a whole bunch of names. Those drugs, yes, will decrease short-term inflammation and pain, but by stopping the inflammatory process, and if you get a steroid injection, it does the same thing. It stops the acute inflammatory process, since the acute inflammatory process is the initiation of the healing phase that allows the body to repair itself. That stops it.
It stops the healing.
So you keep on taking it. And also people don't realize that non-steroidal drugs like aspirin, Aleve, ibuprofen, all these things, while they decrease short-term inflammation, it's well known by doctors and researchers that they kill the very cells that create cartilage, the chondrocytes and chondroblasts. So you actually promote degeneration. And in fact, in Scandinavia, where they have socialized medicine, they no longer allow doctors to prescribe long-acting steroids like Feldene and others, because they know those patients who got those long-acting steroids will have progressive degeneration and will wind up with expensive joint replacement therapies. But in the United States, where big pharma controls everything, it's rampant. And everybody can go to the store and get these things. And they don't realize that they're actually damaging themselves. In addition, non-steroidal drugs damage the lining of the stomach and the esophagus. They damage the kidneys and the liver and have all kinds of side effects in addition to accelerating arthritis. So we don't want to do that. So the acute inflammatory process is an important thing not to suppress. So that's why proliferative therapy or reconstructive therapy was developed. They would use different simple drugs like 50% dextrose or sugar or malic acid or other things and inject into the joint, restimulate acute inflammation, which then would go on to restart the healing process. When I had it done on my knee, I had in the late 90s, I went on a long trip in Grand Canyon and canoeing and all the rest of it, and split my left medial meniscus, flapping in the wind, and it hurt like heck. And I had instead of having my knee surgerized, because that's what they recommended at the local major university hospital, and I was too young for that, I looked in and I found prolotherapy, had it done, but I was told I would need about 12 to 14 treatments for my knee to heal because it was really split down the middle. You know, the meniscus in your knee looks like a horseshoe, and usually the inner side, the medial side, gets broken down, and regular doctors would tell you that will never grow back together. Cartilage will never grow. They just have to cut it out. That's not true. Your body has an amazing ability to heal itself if you just know how to do it. So in any case, I found a good physiatrist in Northern Virginia. He gave me the initial injection and my knee swelled up and I said, this really hurts. Do I really want to go through this 12 times? So that's what stimulated me to do some of my own research. And I found out about gromohomome. I found out about the homeopathic remedies. I made my own combination. And when I brought growth hormone and the homeopathic remedies up to the doctor and had him put it in my knee. And 3 treatments later, my knee was completely healed. And I saw the doctors again at University of Virginia, and they couldn't believe, how did you do that? And they were a little annoyed at me because I cheated them on my surgical procedure. But then I treated my other knee just prophylactically, and I'm 65 years old, and I can walk up and down mountains without any pain now at all. And I've treated hundreds of people now with this very procedure, and it works fantastically. So I will use that approach, JRT, joint regeneration therapy, to re-stimulate the healing process, but not by promoting inflammation, by resolving inflammation and stimulating regeneration. So this is an ideal anti-aging approach using your body's own healing abilities, because that's the whole idea of homeopathic nutritional therapy. We are stimulating your body's own innate ability, God-given ability to heal itself, which makes a whole lot more sense empirically, to me at least, mm-hmm. and a lot of my colleagues. So that works really well. And so this woman who came to me with the really bad knees that she was told she absolutely needed knee replacement, I did the JRT, the homeopathic ozone approach, first. And did I explain ozone? No. Ozone, the reason we use ozone in the treatment is that, contrary to popular belief, our blood is not sterile. Our blood is full of bacteria, viruses, and fungi that we live in concert with. It's in symbiosis, and we all have it. Nobody has sterile blood. It's not true. But they don't necessarily harm us. However, when your joint is degenerated, or you have a tissue in the body that's degenerating, these bugs will sort of parasitize it, and they promote inflammation. So with ozone, when you put that into a joint, first of all, it sterilizes the joint, kills the bacteria, fungi, and viruses, so that it's a clean joint. Then the ozone is known to convert into special salts called ozonites. And ozonites have been shown to dramatically stimulate cartilage cells to regrow and fibroblasts to grow. So it's you have the homeopathic remedies, the growth hormone, the ozone, all of and the vitamins and nutrients together all working synergistically to regrow the joint. So we gave this woman two treatments, 6 weeks apart, of the JRT. And she was 50 to 60% better and very happy. But she said, you know, we really want to buy our RV and get on the trail soon. And this, you know, she said, I want to be done by this time. I said, well, I'll give you a scale. If you have the bottom of the scale, let's say here's the bottom of the scale is giving steroid injections, which are never going to, they may relieve your pain, but it's going to cause further degeneration. The next step up is giving prolotherapy, which creates inflammation and takes several treatments, dozens of treatments to work really. Then if you take JRT, which is anti-inflammatory and pro-regenerative, it's way up higher, works better. But then if somebody has a lot of degeneration and but wants to get better faster, the most powerful therapy is stem cell therapy in the joints. And that's way up here. And that's hundreds of times more powerful. There's nothing more powerful than stem cell injections for repairing joints, the right kind of stem cells. Because they will, you put them into the joint, they will adhere, and they continue to release these healing growth factors in the joint for weeks to months thereafter. So she got two JRT treatments in the knee, two stem cell treatments in the knee several weeks apart, and then two more JRTs. So six treatments altogether. The last time I saw her, she drove up to the office in her brand new RV with her husband, came into the office just to tell, she didn't have an appointment, just to tell Laura that we're about to embark on our Trail of the Mountains. We've always walked some and I'm completely pain-free. And if you want a poster child for what you do, I'm it. And with this, her experience has now been reproduced several times in my patients. We just had we have a local farmer's market in Nellie's Ford, and we're friendly with one of the farmers who I always see limping around at his booth, and he's always has a brace on his knee, and he was into football and all kinds of stuff, and he really injured his right knee. And I gave him one of my cards, and he read an article I wrote recently on this procedure. So he comes in the office, and we do a single treatment with him. And he called Laura, my wife, who works with me, 2.5 weeks later, and tells her, I am 1,000% better. I'm telling everybody. And this has been our experience, that empirically, the approach that stimulates your own body's ability to heal itself works phenomenally well without the nasty side effects of all the drugs and all the surgeries.
Well, so, there's so much here. Yes. Yeah. So, a real quick question, just to distinction. So, why would you use JRT over stem cell therapy, and/or why are you doing them both together in the protocol you did with the woman?
Well, what I initially do, you know, I as a homeopathic physician, I like to use the smallest dose and the gentlest approach first, and also the components of the JRT are much more cost effective, it's less expensive. All right. Whereas stem cells, you know, they're more expensive because I'm buying them for a bank and it's a big, big, big process to extract them and create them and whatnot. So this, you know, there's a certain higher fee for that, but they're very, when we need them, we use them. So I start with the gentlest approach first. If I think by examining the patient, by looking at the x-rays, the MRIs, the CTs, if the joint shows me it's a mild to moderate arthritis or degenerative change, I will start with the homeopathic ozone JRT first. And if it works, wonderful. And in reality, all treatments are a hypothesis. You know, you don't know, no one knows exactly. No one can play God. I mean, let's face it. So I will try it with the gentlest, most cost-effective treatment first. If it works and they're doing great, wonderful. That's all they need. If someone has more severe arthritis, they come into the office and their knee is shot. Like I just saw someone just this past week. And he had some pretty severe ski injuries when he was younger, and he had a previous medial meniscectomy. That is when doctors go in, they cut out the inner part of the kneecap, not the kneecap, the meniscus itself. And he's having a lot of pain and a lot of fluid effusion in there. And he had three steroid shots, didn't help him at all. He's taking nonsteroidals and they're helping him, and he's feeling worse. So he heard about us, came in, I explained what was going on, looked at his x-rays and realized, well, I'll give you initial pain relief today with the JRT, but I think you're probably going to need stem cells because your joint is shot. I mean, it's like gravel inside there. And I know the limitations. And, you know, I might be able to do 30, 40 of the JRTs, which I could achieve in maybe just a few treatments with the stem cells. So he's came in this time. He's feeling better now for just a week after the shot. And he's coming in a few weeks to get the stem cells so they can really knit this up, all that tissue together. So it depends on the degree of severity of the injury, of the degeneration, the age of the patient, their health in general, all those factors to be able to make an educated decision about what would work best in a given patient. Okay.
Got it. Yes.
What I also do, Christina, is I also provide a special supportive nutraceutical regimen. I give supplements that help give the building blocks of joint tissue that help calm down inflammation in the body, stimulate the healing process. And I find that the nutritional support and dietary support along with the stem cells and giving them a special exercise program, all that works synergistically to promote the healing.
Again, fancy that.
Fancy that.
All right. Well, like I mentioned just before we got started, is that this conversation is really timely because, as I don't know, the last maybe month or so, mm-hmm. I've had a lot of questions. I don't know. It's just been my life partner. He was a previous SEAL. He is friends, obviously, with a lot of SEALs. And now at the age they are, they're having a lot of pain issues. Like their bodies are breaking down. Everybody's body breaks down. Our joints break down over time, especially those that have really active lifestyles. I mean, I was a marathon runner. So, you know, there's been some degeneration there.
I whipped myself pretty good too.
Yeah, exactly. So we all are suffering a little bit from our younger lifestyles and active lifestyles. And but you take someone like the SEALs and it's a whole different level of breakdown. So, you know, when they go to the doctor that says, hey, I'm having a lot of pain, the first thing that's recommended is cortisone. And then the second thing is surgery. And these guys, on average, I don't remember the statistic, but it's like an average of at least 6 surgeries. And some of them have had like 16 surgeries. Right. And a recent example, one almost died because he went home and had, you know, the surgery was botched and he nearly died in his own bed. And it was just lucky that he got back to the hospital in time because he's slowly bleeding to death, really. But I'd love for you just to take a second. I mean, the reason why I wanted to bring this to the table is to let people know there are alternatives and that first recommendation surgery, maybe it's necessarily, but maybe it should be the last option, not the first option. Would you just talk about some of the dangers of surgery? You've mentioned just the dangers of some of the steroids and that type of thing, but what can be some of the dangers of surgery that people don't even think about because, you know, the doctors recommended it?
Well, that's very true, Christina. And I've seen, unfortunately, a lot of disasters as a result, because not everybody responds to surgery the same. Again, it depends on your age, your overall state of health, any medications you're taking, a lot of different factors, your nutrition. You know, if you're eating crummy, you're not going to heal very well. So there's a lot of factors to take into account, which is what I do as a holistic integrative physician, which many doctors don't because they don't get nutritional training. The basic risks of surgery, of course, if you have general anesthesia, a lot of people don't realize what an anesthesiologist is doing when they put you out. You're artificially dead and they're breathing for you. You can't breathe on your own because you're paralyzed. And also it decreases blood flow through the brain. So a lot of people get micro injuries from the brain. And in fact, it's known that if you have more than 6 surgical procedures under general anesthesia, you have a much higher risk of dementia because there's this vascular damage that occurs in your brain, when you're under general anesthesia. So that can be a problem. You can have drug reactions. That's not uncommon. When they give someone an antibiotic, you can have an idiosyncratic reaction that wasn't expected and die from that. Also, the medications they give you, the non-steroidals and the steroids, can have side effects because they can suppress your immune system, injure your liver, injure your kidneys, and definitely injure the joints. Can lead to long, and when people take things like non-steroidals and even Tylenol long-term, it's known to cause chronic kidney failure and chronic liver failure. I mean, they're not safe long-term, even though the drug industry says they are. Surgeries can also lead to infections. You can get an infected joint. You can get sepsis, which is infections of the blood in the whole body and die from that. There's a lot of things that can happen. One of the biggest causes of death in the United States is a lethal reaction to a normal amount of a dose, a normal dose of a drug. Over 150,000 people in the United States die every year by giving the prescribed amount of the drug. Not an overdose, but just the normal dose. And people have abnormal reactions to the drugs that were not unexpected, and they're dead. That's it. So that can happen to you. Also, being in a hospital. Hospitals tend to promote what are called nosocomial infections because hospitals are like a hotbed of all those growing and mutating bacteria from only antibiotics. There are worse infections in hospitals than there are out in the outside world. Where MRSA came from, I don't know if you heard that term, it's called methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus. That's the flesh-eating bacteria. That started in hospitals. Why? Because of the abuse of antibiotics that have led to the mutation of the bacteria. So all those are all the things that can happen with surgery. But the very reason for not jumping into surgery is to give someone's own body the chance to heal itself. Try do the gentlest thing first. I mean, that's what Hippocrates, the father of Western medicine, talked about. You know, you use medicines that will stimulate the body's ability to heal itself. Like cures like. He developed, you know, supported the idea. You only use things that are unlike the anti things, like antibiotics, antihistamines, antineoplastics, all the anti things, when you have to suppress a process, not heal it. And his biggest method for healing was by faith. By believing in your own body's innate God-given ability to heal itself. And that's how he did it, with food and nutrition and enemas and detoxification. He was the original naturopath, not an allopath. He was a naturopath.
That's amazing.
So basically that's what I seek to do. When we will initially evaluate a patient, look at all the physical, mental, and emotional and constitutional symptoms, see what someone's overall status of health is, what they need. And what I do is I suit the therapy to the patient. I don't try to suit the patient to the therapy and jam a square peg into a round hole or vice versa, which happens in most of conventional medicine. We try to suit our endeavor is to suit the exact therapy that the patient needs to them and individualize it. And in the long term, I found over my several decades of practice, that's the most effective approach.
I've also heard, and I mean, it makes sense also, that with some of these, let's say, newer therapies like PRP and even some fat-based mm-hmm. stem cell, mm-hmm. that these are being used on a more regular basis, but what's not being factored in, which you alluded to, the health of the patient, meaning the health of the cells is very important. So if you're extracting right. kind of unhealthy cells and right. putting them back in the body, it's probably not going to have the effect that one might want. So even before getting those or even going in for surgery, mm-hmm. for that matter, is to get healthy first. I mean, a big part of this is, and that's what I love what you're doing, is that not only are we doing these therapies, we're looking at the health, and maybe we won't even get them a little bit healthier first if it requires changing some diet and adding some nutrition and maybe some supplementation or some nutraceuticals, that type of thing right. before, but you're doing it during as well and saying, okay, these vitamins or minerals are a very important component of the healing process also. So right. I'm going to actually combine these. So we're going to, you know, the efficacy of this procedures is going to be hopefully, you know, is as high as possible.
Right. When I evaluate a patient, if I find out that they have prediabetes or diabetes or hypertension or some kind of kidney or liver or whatever metabolic problems they have, we'll correct those first before I will even start these anti-aging regenerative therapies. So they have a baseline from which we can build from. If someone is on a terrible diet or they're taking all kinds of drugs that I know are counterproductive, we will try to wean them off of those drugs to the point where they're on diet and nutrition that's supporting the body. And then we will do those therapies because you're going to generally heal better. I will also endeavor to give constitutional homeopathic treatment. And when I do that, I take a very, very extensive history where I'm looking at all the physical symptoms someone has, the unique way in which they experience them, the sensations, what makes it better, what makes it worse, makes them symptoms unique to them, regardless of the label of disease. And we look at their emotional nature, their anxieties, fears, shames, griefs, whatever has molded them emotionally through life, their mental nature, the way they think, don't think, beliefs, daydreams, dreams. Then I look at the nexus or the collection of physical and mental and emotional symptoms, that constellation which describes the whole person holistically. I analyze that and compare it to tens of thousands of homeopathic remedies, find the single one that matches their pattern most directly. And that remedy, which we call the true constitutional similum, the most similar remedy, because homeopathy comes from the term homeopathos, similar suffering, that remedy then acts as a bioenergetic, not biochemical, bioenergetic stimulus or catalyst that gives their God-given innate defense mechanism the energy and information to do what it would have done to begin with. It's like kickstarting your own healing engine. Once they're balanced energetically and biochemically with nutrition, with diet, with nutraceuticals, then I find they get the best response from anti-aging therapy, because those things in and of themselves are anti-aging. You take away all the starch and the sugars and the garbage, the artificial sweeteners and the fried fats. That's going to allow the body to heal itself. In the presence of all those false foods that are creating free radical oxidative stress, sparks in the body, that's what's feeding inflammation. And excess chronic inflammation is what causes all pain and degeneration. So what I seek to do is to help calm down that foundation of inflammation, chronic inflammation, which is damaging the body. Once we calm that down, then we can use different therapies, modalities, to promote the healing process even more rapidly and effectively.
And what do you find with people that don't heal well? Like, what is, it because they probably have too much, some chronic inflammation in the body that is keeping them from just more acute situations?
Oh, sure.
Love healing, and
I'll give you an example. We had a gentleman come to us a couple of years back, who's a bodybuilder, and he really big guy, but he was in a lot of pain in his neck and his arms. In fact, by lifting weights that were too heavy and eating a diet that was just ridiculous, way too much meat and not enough vegetables and things like that, he generated a lot of inflammation in his body. He was also not eating according to his metabolic type, which made it worse, which worsens the inflammation. But he had injured his spine and cracked down the vertebra, so he had like sciatica in his arms. Constant pain, weakness, so he couldn't do any lifting. Well, the first thing I did was to change his diet, get him on the nutrients that would help balance his metabolism, and agents that would calm down the inflammation and start his body's own regenerative process, gave him homeopathic treatment based on his mental, emotional, physical type. And then we did a combination of JRT therapy and stem cell therapy right along the spine. And within a matter of months, he's completely pain-free, the neck's fine, the joints are fine, and he's happy as a clam and sending me lots of patients.
Wow. Well, and that takes me to even say my personal situation, because just my personal lifestyle, that's pretty active and lifting some weights or doing resistance training or doing some running here and there. And after lots of car accidents and gymnastics and who knows, I mean, I get like really severe neck pain. And, you know, I usually go to a chiropractor to help out, and that relieves it for a good period of time, but I don't take any medication or NSAIDs or anything of that nature, you know, very, very rarely. But would that be something you would look at, is just look at, let's say, something like my neck, where now I'm like just living in more maybe pain than I've never even thought I would get to the place where I would experience pain on it, honestly.
Yeah, what we would do initially, I would look at any of the x-rays or the chiropractor or osteopathic reports to see, did they think it was an orthopedic problem? Was it your cervical spine? Was there any subluxation of the discs? Was there degenerative joint disease or osteoarthritis? Or was it musculoskeletal? Because a lot of neck pain can actually be referred from the shoulders. A lot of people who get neck pain, headaches across here, it's actually due to trauma to the muscles in the trapezius, so these muscles here. And I can examine that and find out, do you have localized fibromyalgia? And just by, if you have, like, say, a point right here, there's a point in the back of the shoulders here that tends to be referred up to the head right here. You have headaches right over your eye. And a patient will tell me this, and I'll go examine them, I'll press right here, and they go, oh, it's referred pain. Because the body does that referral through the meridians, the acupuncture points. If I find that, I will have them do different naturopathic procedures, hydrotherapy, hot and cold compresses, topical natural anti-inflammatories. If that relieves their pain, and I teach them exercises, stretch, and they go, they're fine. If it continues because they've injured the muscle, one of the things that happens in fibromyalgia, when people get pain all over, they usually have not been exercising, and then when they go to do something, they tear the muscle. And when you tear the muscle fibers, then they pull apart, it bleeds into itself. And the blood, when it's outside the blood vessels, is pretty pro-inflammatory. So you have all those cells and everything coming to try to heal it. And what happens is that the inflammatory process kind of melts the muscle fibers, and it forms what's called a myogellosity, a little scar of muscle. And as that scar, all scars contract over time. As it contracts, it pulls on the surrounding muscle fibers. And then you have less flexibility and range of motion, and you tend to injure yourself more, and you get more and more and more of those little scar points. And then it can become diffuse across your chest, your back, all over the place. And then you have what's called fibromyalgia, which just means muscle fiber pain. That's what the term means. If I find someone has that kind of myogelosity, I can do what's called trigger point injection therapy. I use the same medicines that are in the JRT and put it into the muscle. And it dissolves the myogelosity. It breaks the spasm. And then their regional pain goes away. I've had people with chronic tension headaches. All I did was find that point, to have them do the basic things, that it didn't get better. I'd inject it, and the pain's gone. They don't have headaches anymore. They don't have to take all the drugs anymore. So you just have to carefully examine and diagnose what's going on with the given individual and give them what they need.
It's pretty difficult to find this day and age because you have 15 minutes with your doctor. So
my minimum consultation with my patient, usually when I first see a patient regularly, it's for an hour. And when I see them homeopathically, it's for 2.5 hours. And my follow-ups usually are a half an hour to 45 minutes because you can't find out what's going on with somebody in 15 minutes. You just can't. In fact, when I was at the Medical College of Virginia as an assistant clinical professor of family medicine for a number of years when I first got into practice. And we did research on how long a doctor is actually listening to the patient before they think about what's going on, how to diagnose and what to prescribe. Well, if in a 15-minute appointment, usually you're waiting for the doctor for hours. When they finally come in there, on average, your doctor is only in the office with you for 6 to 7 minutes. And guess how much time they're actually listening to you before they start thinking about what they want to prescribe for you?
30 seconds.
18 seconds.
Wow.
18 seconds. So how much can you learn about any other human being who's had this whole long life in 18 seconds? You can't. And for my homeopathic consultations, I've designed over the last several decades a 80-question questionnaire, mental, emotional, physical questions. I have my patients fill it out before they even see me. I analyze that, take an hour, 2 or 3 hours to analyze it, and then I sit down. So usually on average, I'm spending 4 to 5 hours from a homeopathic perspective. So by the time I prescribe, I really understand that person, mind, body, and spirit.
Well, you really do. And I've actually seen your questionnaire and you ask about the emotions. And because I know you believe our emotional state's a big part of our healing process. And
there's no separation.
Right.
We have this artificial separation between mind, body, and spirit. There's no such thing. We're one continuum. Because we're not just physical beings. We're bioenergetic beings that exist physically, mentally, emotionally as one continuum. And when we want to heal somebody, you have to understand all the components because the physical affects the emotional, the physical, the mental. It's all interrelated. And when you understand someone holistically, then you know what they need to help heal them if you're observant.
All right. So if someone's actually having some chronic pain and it's becoming an issue, it's affecting their lifestyle, one, there are other alternatives that you've brought to, that people are listening, that at least research these, that there are these new therapies available, check into them. There are alternatives or at least something to consider maybe prior to surgery and maybe put that as a last resort.
Sure. I'll send you articles I've written on the subject that you can share with people.
Oh, that would be great. Mm-hmm. Also, what about just the idea of anti-aging? So let's say somebody that's not really experiencing any sort of pain. I mean, aches and joint pain is sort of happening as we get older. But do these same therapies work for those that actually just want to slow down some of the aging process, or if it's possible to slow it down? But would you recommend those those that actually say, what's available to just keep my body, my joints, my cells healthier and happier, and so I can be active longer?
Exactly, Christina. This is actually a field I've grown into over the last decade or so. Because I'm getting older, I'm 65 now, I've had some of the therapy done. As I'm getting older, the back of my hair was getting looser, and it was loosening up. I'm not terribly vain because I can't even see it, but I just to experiment to see what would happen, because that happens to a lot of men and women, I had stem cells injected in the back of my head. Well, the hair grew back. I said,
wow.
Okay, this is cool. But the stem cells I use are unique in that They're not just pure stem cells. They actually bathe them in the PRP from the placenta. So you're getting the benefit of both. You're getting the platelet-rich plasma and the stem cells together. And the PRP actually nourishes and supports the stem cells. So it works really, really well together. That's why I like using this particular combination. But yes, indeed, you can use it. In fact, that's one of the main uses throughout a lot of the rest of the world. In regeneration therapy, because the stem cells, as I mentioned earlier, when you give the very nascent young newborn stem cells, they have the longest telomeres, they're the most vital, the most active, and they regenerate a lot of healthy new cells. When you inject them intravenously, and it's very simple procedure for a doctor like myself, who does a lot of them, the cells have this innate capacity to migrate to the tissue that's chronically inflamed, because one of the main capacities and main functions of stem cells is to control and heal inflammation when it's excessive. So let's say, for example, you have a little, you've been eating the wrong foods and your heart and blood vessels are a little inflamed. It's been shown through research when they labeled stem cells and they put it into your bloodstream that if you took a special scan a few days later, most of those stem cells would be right in your heart and your heart would light up. If it's your joint lights up. Whatever part of your body is the place that has the biggest degree of inflammation, that's where most of the stem cells will migrate to heal that tissue. And they usually the stem cells last for 6, 7, 8 weeks, produce the paracrine function, releasing the factors that draw the healing components to it, and then the cells will convert into that tissue. And then you repeat it again and keep that process going until the inflammation is controlled and the tissue is healed. So yes, it definitely can be used for anti-aging, because all of us, you know, just like if there's an old adage, the only thing that is definite in life is death and taxes.
Right.
So regardless of what we do, we're all going to age. I mean, that's our built-in obsolescence biologically.
Yeah, and in my philosophy there is, and I want to be as active and live a full life as long as I'm living. So whatever we can do to feel good to the very end, to, you know, whatever age.
And stem cells definitely promote that process, definitely help you regenerate and can keep you healthier longer for sure.
And would there be like an anti-aging protocol that you would recommend where there's no, like, yeah, what would that be?
Well, first of all, as I mentioned earlier, I would do an entire holistic evaluation, find out about their diet, nutrients, the amount of exercise, all the factors that are impinging their life, the amount of stress they have in their life, they help them deal with that. So I help them with diet, exercise, nutrition. And then we see, oh, would they benefit from stem cell therapy, GRT, whatever it may be, give them the right nutrients suited to their body. We do, you know, genomic testing to check and see if there's any genetic predispositions to disease. My wife does a lot of this testing too. And to find out what an individual specifically needs for what they've been born with, what they have a predisposition with. And that's one of the beauties of homeopathic medicine, in that it's not only an intervention, a therapy, it's also very preventative. I can tell once I know someone's constitutional homeopathic remedy, what they have a predisposition to develop later on in life. And by giving the remedy now, it helps prevent them from developing that problem later on. The same thing, if I see a genetic predisposition disease, to heart disease, to cancer, whatnot, I'll give them a combination of homeopathic treatment, nutritional therapy, and stem cells to help regenerate the body so that doesn't happen. Or if it ever does happen, it's much, much later on in life. But usually all of these therapies together, I found that nutritional therapy, dietary therapy, exercise therapy, this whole holistic approach allows someone to optimize their overall health, mentally, emotionally, physically, and live the longest, the greatest quantity and quality of life. That's the basis for it. Why would we want to live a long time and be miserable?
Exactly. And I really love the word optimize. And you're so right. Just how do we, it is about optimization. And
that's basically what it, that's what true holistic integrative medicine is all about. It's health optimization. And that's what I specialize in, essentially.
All right. A couple more questions. So in my day job, outside of doing these amazing podcasts where I get to interview people like you that are just such experts, and I learn so much. I love being a podcast host, because this is what I get to do is learn and have conversations with just leaders in their fields.
You're doing very good work. Thank you.
Thank you. In my day job, I mean, I'm a money and financial coach. And so I really help people with their businesses, with their household finance for the sake of, like, you're in the physical wellness business, basically. Your goal is people are well. They're mentally, physically, and emotionally well. And you help optimize that and take people that might have disease and chronic pain, for example, and help them reverse that. Like we talked about the anti-aging, but it's ultimately about wellness. We want to feel well at the end of the day, because being well allows us to feel free, that we're not free if we are constricted, or, you know, we have to stay in our house because we can't do the Appalachian Trail, for example, which is on the bucket list. In my world, I'm talking about it on the money side, on the finance side, that ultimately that same type of freedom comes from financial freedom and financial, what I call wellness, not about buying more stuff, but about financial wellness and optimization in that way. But a lot of people I talk to, let's say when it comes to money and health, they would say, well, surgery may be covered by insurance, but if I go see Dr. Mitch, how much is that going to cost me? And so, you know, what I'm trying to share is the idea that our body's our number one asset. And that means it's really our number one investment, time, energy, and money to put in our body wellness before maybe buying other stuff or living a certain lifestyle. So I want to take it back.
Health is the true wealth.
Health is the true wealth. Absolutely it is. So how much would it cost, let's say on average, to say get a kind of a JRT and or stem cell therapy? And the reason why I ask that is because, one, I'd like people to know the relative cost. And then two, part of the mindset I'm trying to change is that why not put some money away for these types of therapies, for anti-aging therapies, so that we'll feel well to the very end, and make that something we invest in, where the money, that's the first place we'd want to spend money versus saying, oh my God, that's too expensive.
Okay. Well, for all of your clientele out there who are listening, if you're under 65 years of age, I would look into a HSA, health savings account. Because, you know, you can use pre-tax dollars to pay for your nutrients, for any kind of alternative therapy that regular insurance companies unfortunately don't pay for yet. But you also may be in northwestern U.S. where they have plans that do cover homeopathy and naturopathy. You may be lucky in that way. Hopefully that'll spread across the country. But yes, then, you know, the bottom line is the health is the most important wealth. If you don't have health, what's the point of having any money or doing anything else? Right? And I hate it when people come when they've waited too long. So essentially, joint regeneration therapy, we supply a super bill because we realize people have to deal with these insurance issues, and we use the correct CPT codes for that procedure. And then depending on what insurance you have, they'll reimburse varying degrees for the joint regeneration therapy. We try not to mention the word homeopathy and the rest of it because most of those companies don't usually understand. But yeah, we use the correct codes on the super bill. And the patient get reimbursed directly to themselves. At this stage of the game, of course, stem cell therapy is still considered experimental, even though it's starting to be used at some hospitals. The insurance companies are not covering any of it yet. Still, we use some of the codes to try to get some reimbursement. For example, for JRT to a knee, the most expensive component in the solution that I use is the growth hormone. That's pretty expensive stuff because it's pharmaceutical grade, genetically engineered DNA. That's human DNA. It's clean, and I get special vials of it. And so, mixing all those things together, and with the procedure, a knee would cost like $645. But that's a whole heck of a lot cheaper than joint, you know, replacement therapy. And the drugs you have to be on for the rest of your life, because so long term it's much more cost effective. Because you're stimulating your body to heal itself, which is inevitably better than being sliced and diced and poisoned, right? The stem cells, when I buy them from the U.S. banks, and the stem cells we get are only from U.S. patients, babies and moms, and U.S. hospitals and U.S. banks. So it's controlled. It's all FDA controlled. The FDA, contrary to popular belief, has a major control over the cord banks. And the bank we used has been one of the top in the country for decades. So we know they're approved and they're good cells. But when we get them, it depends on how many we buy for the patient at a given time. And when a patient says I want them, I order them and get them shipped to me on dry ice very soon before the treatment, so they're the freshest they could possibly be. Then I thaw them and give them to them. And there's an economy of scale. If we get one vial costs $27.50, and I know a lot of doctors charge a lot more than that, but we try to keep the price down. So that's about what it costs us. And if they get more, we can, as we get more cells, the banks give us a break. And we pass that on to our patients. So the more cells they buy, the less expensive it is. And we can store the cells for a certain period of time. Let's say over a 3-day period, they come in and say someone is coming in for multiple sclerosis. And we've treated several patients with neurodegenerative diseases with MS quite successfully with stem cells and nutrient therapy and homeopathy. If they come in for a 3-day period and they're, say, getting 12 vials, it's going to be less expensive to buy the 12 vials rather than just single vial. So it's basically economy of scale.
Yeah, it is. And for something like a $10,000 investment can change the quality of your life drastically. And how much is the return on that $10,000 could be productive-wise, could be hundreds of thousands of dollars, but quality of life-wise, like how do you put a price tag on that?
Right. In the treatment of multiple sclerosis, there's not a lot Western medicine has to offer. They use a lot of those, recombinant DNA proteins, beta serum, and other things like that, which give you this phenomenal flu because it's like a shotgun approach affecting, suppressing your immune system. People feel miserable on it. That's why they come to me. They don't want to take that stuff anymore. We had a woman come to us who was using a walker because her legs are so weak and her arms are so weak. She couldn't raise them like that. That was it. And she couldn't put her arms above to even get a dish out of the cabinet. And actually, when I look at all the causes of why people have this condition to blame, but just because they come in with a label, multiple sclerosis, I want to know, is this really it? So when I examined this patient, turned out they had Lyme disease, which can mimic MS. So we treated the Lyme disease, got rid of homeopathic and nutrition with integrative therapy, got rid of that. That's calmed down, but they still had damage that was MS related. They had plaque damage and myelin damage. So they wanted to get stem cell therapy. So I gave them over a 3-day period, about 70 to 80 million cells over 3 days, 12 vials. They came back about 6 weeks later and I asked her, Vicky, how are you feeling? And how are your arms? She goes like, oh yeah, my arms are fine. I go like, I almost fell out of my chair. I didn't expect that kind of effect in such a short period of time. In addition, she had her legs were about 15% better. After the second treatment, about 6 to 7 weeks later, now she doesn't need help from her son and her husband to get up into her. She now can virtually lift herself out into her walker. So that's a gradual process of healing. Over time, we expect to her getting better and better. And I could share with you, I first got turned on to stem cells many years ago. I began studying them. One of my patients in Texas had MS. I've been treating them for over 20 years homeopathically and nutritionally. They've been doing well, but she really wanted to kick this thing already. And she was getting to the point where she was really, really weak. She was dragging her right foot. She was having she lives probably near you in Texas, and the Texas weather there is miserable for MS. It's so hot. She'd have to stay inside all summer long. She didn't like living like that. So I found out about the stem cell center in Panama, Neil Reardon's thing. And I sat her down there. And after three treatments, she's dramatically better, dramatically better. And she's been referring some of her friends and patients to us here now because, so they don't have to make the trip down to Panama, which is very expensive and a hassle and the rest of it. So when I saw that result and when I saw the results of other patients getting this kind of therapy, I realized I have to offer this to my patients because the reality, stem cell therapy is the therapy of the future now. You know, I think eventually, I hope it doesn't take 20, 30, 40 years for 50 years for us to happen. I would like to see the stem cells of every newborn baby. I'd like to see the birth tissue, the placenta and umbilical cord of every birth stored for that given patient. And they could be stored up to 50 years or so. So that's pretty good. And they have new techniques for expanding the cells too. So they may be able to make it last even longer. so that any injury you had, any infection, illness, whatever it might be, trauma, you could use your own banked stem cells to heal yourself. And there's nothing, Christina, there is absolutely nothing more powerful. Stem cells are the most powerful medicine on planet Earth. And we're just really learning how to use them. You know, I have a case, I'll share this with you. This was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in my entire medical career, doing being a doctor for over 40 years. One of my patients, one of my patients' sons, developed chronic alcoholic cirrhosis of the liver, which is a scarring down the liver, because they were dealing with a very painful marriage by, rather than going to counseling, by drinking a fifth of vodka every day for lunch. He found dozens of bottles in the back of his truck. Well, he presented to the emergency room vomiting blood, because what happens when your liver scars down, it backs up the portal blood into your esophagus. You have like hemorrhoids in the esophagus, which are very fragile. It could break and you can bleed to death. So he presented to the ER in that state at 35 years old, right? With a young, beautiful wife and a two-year-old child. Not a good situation. And the major university hospital to whom he was transferred said, even with a liver transplant, which you have to take all these horrible immunosuppressive drugs that can give you infections and cancer, he only had 3 months to live, even with that. So his father, who was one of my patients, who I treated with JRT and stem cells successfully, called me and begged me, could I do something for him? And I said, I don't know, honestly. This is a really bad situation, but I'm willing to try. And I reasoned that, we were talking on the phone, I said, you know, the only thing I can think of would be stem cells, because the liver is a very regenerative organ. It's constantly being, every time we eat a, you know, a taco with a lot of spices, or we knock off some liver cells. Every time we take a Tylenol or any drug, we're knocking off liver cells, but the liver regenerates. So I figured, well, let's see if they'll regenerate the liver. So they bring him into my office and the whole family comes in and he looks like a space alien from Saturn. I mean, he's literally so jaundiced. He's so full of bile that he's orange from head to toe like a pumpkin. There was no white in his eyes. It was just all bile, all orange. And he was skinny as a rail and he used to be athletic and muscular. He was looked like an Auschwitz victim, Holocaust. And he had fluid. What happens in chronic cirrhosis is that your liver leaks fluid from your blood. And his belly looked like a double watermelon. He was full of ascites. So he looked terrible. And there is also, objectively, there are certain laboratory scores that tell you how sick someone is when they have this kind of liver disease. Normal total bilirubin is 1.4, right? Total, that's what the highest should be. His was over 40.
Holy cow.
That's not good for the brain, all right? That's why he was orange. Also, there's an international score called the MELD score. Minnesota end-stage liver disease score that doctors use to determine whether you need a transplant or not, if your liver is going to survive or not. If it's over 21, they say, doc, hepatitis also say your liver shot, we can't heal it, you need a transplant, that's it. This was 36, okay? And here he is, 35 years old, looking like hell. So they're sitting down in front of me, he's like looking down, and I said, listen, I'm seeing you because of your dad. I mean, we're going to do everything we can to help you. But here's the deal. If one drop of alcohol passes your lip and kick your butt out of here, the whole family cheered and he said, I promise. So I put him on intensive nutritional therapy. I put him on nutraceuticals that support the liver, support regeneration, decrease inflammation, all of that. And then we started stem cell therapy the next week. And for the 2 week period, he came in and I gave him over a course of 2 weeks, about 150 million cells, a lot of cells. So I figured, you know, this guy has 3 months left to live. We got to do everything we can now. So I arranged to see him back in 5 to 6 weeks and see how he's doing. Well, first he came in with the family, carrying him in and sitting him in the chair. Next time he comes in, this guy walks into our front door on his own and he sort of looks like the patient. And he said, is that you? And he said, yeah. He said, the ascites is completely gone. His belly is flat. He's beginning to have more muscle. There's no jaundice in his skin. There's a little layer of yellow under his eyes. Like, it's like 99% gone. And I said, I told you if any changes happened to call me. He said, why did you call me? He said, well, you know, I thought I'd just wait to surprise you. So thanks a lot. I said, when did the swelling in your belly go away? When did the situs go away? It's all about 2.5 weeks after the the treatment? I said, oh my God. I said, you're taking the water pills, because they give you two water pills, spironolactone, which is lactone, and Lasix furosemide that drain the fluid out. And I said, are you taking those? No, I stopped those immediately. I said, you're not taking them? No. So it had gone away and had not come back. And when we rechecked his bilirubin, it went from the 40s to 21. I saw him 6 weeks after that, it came down to 15. I saw him after that, and it's now, his bilirubin is now 1.3, which is normal, right? His MELD score has gone from 36, and it gradually came down to 19, then to 15, the 13, and the most recent one about 2 weeks ago was 11. And when the MELD score is between 9 and 19, you no longer need a transplant. If it's below 10, consistently, you're clear. You're fine, right?
So needless to say, he passed the three-month mark.
Slightly. It's over 2 years now. And if you looked at him, you'd never know he was ever sick, because there's no jaundice. He's working out again. He's an Adonis. He was told by the liver doctors that he would never be able to have any more children, because the liver kind of shoots your testes. They had twins about 3 months ago.
What a story.
I treated the wife too, and she's very happy.
So you're a believer.
Oh yeah. I mean, this is completely, it completely blew my mind, because here's a condition that's considered uniformly fatal. There's no known treatment for it. And we did an quote unquote experimental therapy based on healing his own body's ability
to heal,
promoting his own body's ability to heal itself. And I now have direct objective clinical experience that it works amazing. And I would do this for anybody now.
Okay. Well, I have a couple questions. I can't even believe how fast our time's gone by. Mm-hmm. So, and thank you. I know you're a busy man, so to offer this time is extraordinary. So thank you. So you're in Virginia. So anybody close by Virginia can find you. What do you recommend to those that can't make it to come see you? Are there?
Well, we've actually had, we actually have an office in a resort area, Virginia, below Winter Green Resort. So it's a lot of bed and breakfasts and places to come. We've had patients from Florida, California, Texas, New York. The latest one is from Indiana. We have Michigan. They find out about me through other patients, mostly word of mouth, because I really don't really advertise. And they come and they stay, and we give them treatment over a few days, and they go back home.
That's perfect. All right. Well, I asked this question.
They come and they have a medical vacation.
Exactly. I love it. I mean, I think that's going to be really the purpose of many of my vacations.
Well, where we live here, actually, the Nelson County in Virginia, Central Virginia, is like the Tuscany of America. It's absolutely gorgeous here. That's where we live here.
Well, why not make a wellness vacation? So yeah. Versus, I don't know, maybe spending $15,000 on a cruise. Why not come spend a few days in Virginia and just feel great and come out a better person?
Wonderful.
So I like to complete all my interviews with the little myth busting. So especially mm-hmm. with the work that you're doing now, mm-hmm. what's a myth that you would like to bust that's, you know, believed to be true out there that you're calling BS on it?
That the body can't heal itself. That once the joints are gone, you can't replace them. Once your liver or your heart or whatever is broken down, or even the brain is injured, you can't replace it. You can't heal it. It's not true. In fact, it's been scientifically proven that people have been able to regenerate brain cells after strokes. And I've done that with homeopathic treatment and nutritional therapy, not even with stem cells. So I know it's possible, because I've watched over my 30, 40 years of practice the effects of holistic approaches where you treat the person individually and to their unique needs. You give them bioenergetic stimulation, the right nutrition, the right diet, the right exercise. You detoxify them. You do everything that promotes optimization of their own immune system, their own metabolism, so they can heal. And I've seen people heal dramatically. And that's why I do this. This is a lot more work than regular medicine, but it's incredibly gratifying to see my patients heal phenomenally. And, you know, one of the things I cut my eye teeth on as a young homeopath was women with infertility. And they go through GIFT and IVF and all the rest of it, and they still don't have babies. And the first dozen women I treated with homeopathic remedies, I'm seeing the children of the children now. That's my patients. Real family practice.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, what I love about you is that you've been practicing for 40 years. And when I see a lot of doctors that have been practicing for 40 years, they're just burnt out. They're tired. They don't look too healthy. And you're still learning and growing and loving your work and wanting to help more people. And
Christina, I love what I do and I'm never going to retire.
You're just full of energy, yes. And you're just probably as inspired as you've ever been. So
more so all the time.
I love it. Well, thank you so much. I want to give just a public shout out I had to cancel our last time that we had scheduled because I actually got the flu. Wow. And I want to say thank you for sending me your homeopathic remedy. I followed it. It helped. And I was just so grateful. You didn't have to do that. And thank you. Now I've saved that. So anytime anyone gets sick, and I might put that in the show notes. If you're okay, I'll share with everyone the remedy.
That's what it's for.
So thank you so much. Actually, obviously I'll put everywhere to contact you in the show notes so those listening can easily find you. And again, just thank you for your time. Thank you for being you and the work that you do.
Thank you, Christina. Thank you for being you.
Thank you.
God bless.
And so ends another episode of the Wealthy, Wealthy Life podcast, where Christina brings you unconventional, cutting-edge strategies from leading experts to optimize your wealth and your health. As a token of gratitude for listening, go to podcast.fallingformoney.com and download a free copy of her best-selling book, Falling for Money. If you're ready to change your relationship with money, head on over to podcast.fallingformoney.com and download your free copy today.